Let's take our Bibles and look together in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm often asked how the Lord could use someone like Solomon in light of his lifestyle and all that we read about his idolatry and all the women he married and everything about him, that the Lord could use someone like that to write the Scriptures. But it's a reminder that every one of these in Scripture that the Lord used were sinners. And the fact that they are able to write a word that is God-inspired is to God's honor and glory. And you stop and think about how He uses any one of us, but for His grace and mercy. But I believe that the writings that we have here of Solomon were written after the Lord drew his heart once again to himself. And especially in this book of Ecclesiastes, we have a picture of God's mercy and grace toward one such as Solomon as he reflects upon the fact that with all the wisdom, and remember, he was given wisdom above any man, and yet with all of that, it could in no way outmatch, if you will, the wisdom of God. There was a natural wisdom he was given to rule and reign, but that in itself did not make him a child of God. It takes the Spirit of God granting wisdom in Christ. So I believe that's what he's writing about here as he reflects. And remember that the title Ecclesiastes means preacher. So he is, through this word, preaching for us and asking many questions that perhaps cross our mind. It's one of the reasons I love to read the Scriptures, because God put in their heart and mind questions that we have, and yet as we continue to read, we find the answer. And so here in Ecclesiastes 4, he says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, the injustices of men, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed." In our day and age, we see a lot with modern television and cell phone cameras and whatnot. It's just in an instant, pictures are broadcast around the world of people's demise. And I don't know about you, but it can get depressing. You get to where you think, wow, how is it that men can treat men this way? Well, we know the answer. It's because they're depraved, they're wicked. But these are reflections even that Solomon had as a king. And it says they had no comforter. So, it's talking here about something more than just a physical comfort. When God oppresses men, in and of themselves, they have no comfort. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power. And you can see how he's weighing this. How is it that power is given to those in authority and then these others are oppressed and there's no comfort, there's no intercessor? But they had no comforter. Wherefore, I praise the dead. And again, this is in his mind. He's thinking, I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which have not yet been, who have not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. So in his mind, he's coveting, if you will, those that have died in their oppressions because they're not seeing the continued evil under the sun. And again, I considered all travail and every right work that for this a man is envied by of his neighbor. This also, vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. In other words, he cares only for himself. He's got plenty to eat, but doesn't provide for any other. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full of travail and vexation of spirit. And we could relate to this even with regard to what we have in Christ. Better that morsel of bread, which is Christ, and contentment therewith, than a house full of delicacies and all kinds of evil. Then I returned, verse 7, and I saw vanity under the sun. And I'll tell you, this is all we'll see when you contemplate the world and you look around you. Whatever appears to be success today, tomorrow's going to be gone. And it's a reminder that we dare not set our affection on things below, but rather on Him who is above. Because His conclusion, and we're talking about a man who had everything. As a king, I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone. There's not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? It's talking about a person that was brought into this world, lives alone, dies alone, has nobody to pass that heritage on to. And Solomon's reflecting on this, thinking, this is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Particularly in a culture where it takes a community to put in a field and to grow product, and that there's help in helping one another, but he says, I observe a man here is alone, and there's not a second. But the reality is there are some that's their lot. God has purposed it. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I think most people would say that one of their greatest fears is dying alone, not having anybody there to care for them. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? You're stopping and thinking, this is a king, and he's reflecting on these things, but it's God that purposed it. And if any of this strikes home to our own heart, it's a reminder that there is no hope or joy lasting in this flesh, and that whatever our lot that God has put us in, we have to be reminded He put us there. And whether there's anybody else to help or not, He is our portion and our strength. It says, but in reflecting upon what it is to live alone, and particularly without Christ, if anyone prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. But better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished. And here's where it comes home with regard to those of us that are lords. To be a poor, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Not poor just in material things, but poor spiritually. But notice, a poor and a wise child, where does wisdom come but by the Spirit of God in Christ? So better is that one. I think here of a Lazarus that men looked upon as being condemned, and yet he had true riches in Christ. So better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. There's some that their lifetime, they live in relative wealth, prosperity, success. And yet as they grow old, without the Spirit of God, without being taught of Christ, they become nothing more than an old, foolish king, presiding over some earthly goods. But the Lord takes them out. Those goods stay here. They don't belong to them. For out of prison, he cometh to reign, Whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. It's talking about there how God confounds the wisdom of the wise. You get one who comes out of prison and reigns, and yet you have another that's born in all the riches of royalty and yet becomes poor. Here I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was like that plant that grew up out of a tender plant, grew up out of a dry ground, and was glorified in his work that he accomplished, and now ever lives and reigns, versus all of these men that had some measure of power, even in the day when Christ was brought in this world, and yet where are they today? The suffering condemnation, the Herods, the Pilates, temporary glory that men have in this life is passing. Even when it passes on to that second child, there's no remembering of who it was that gave them birth and brought them into this world. And he says, surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So again, a reminder that what we are and have is of the Lord. And if we have indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything. Better to be poor and a wise child than to be identified with the old and the foolish of this world. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give it to us to read and to reflect. How we need your spirit to direct our hearts and thoughts away from ourselves and any personal standing that we might be enjoying right now in this life, whether it's health or wealth, any measure of success, that all of this is temporary at best. But to be found in your blessed Son, not having a righteousness that is of our own, but that righteousness which is of you, and revealed in our hearts, that we might have faith to look outside ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So as we prepare to hear a message from your word, I pray that you grant us your spirit. Give us contentment, Lord, in what we have in Christ, irrespective of whatever trials and tribulations we might be going through physically. To have Christ is to have all. And may our affection be set upon him. For that we give you the honor and praise and glory in his precious name.